word is the word, and it's going to be disseminated, because that's what the Lord's will is. Brother Dave Barnes is going to be up here this morning. I think he's got his gear on. And come on up, Dave.
All right. Is this working, the little speaker thing?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is. Sounds like it. Great. Well, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to rightly divide, to understand, to get a better perspective on it, and to make it alive in our lives. As we learn more and we study more, it becomes more close and more intimate to us, and we thank you for that opportunity as we study. We ask that you quiet our hearts and open our minds today in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, if you haven't got one, get one of the little sheets here. I noticed there's a typo already on the Kerfin statement of Christianity. I guess I'm human. The reality is I was actually going to do a different lesson this morning. Got it all prepared, pretty much figured out what I was going to do, and then changed my mind and went with this. The reason for it, a couple things. One, I've recently had some people ask me some detailed differences between religion and why religions fight and all these different elements that are involved in it. And hopefully some people are watching today, some friends of mine who I sent out the Facebook. I got about 14, 15 responses saying, you know, they liked it. Hopefully some of the people tuning in, they can hear some of this. Because it's important to us to understand the difference between religion, which is a man-made thing, and true spirituality. Because there is a huge difference. And unfortunately, a lot of people are wrapped up in religion and they lose the rest of it. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to try to do it relatively quick. That's why I print these out. And if you're watching at home, want one, let me know. Just private message me when I'll send you one. I'll do the typo, correct it on it, and send you a copy of it. Because it's important that we understand that. You know, religion today controls a lot of people's lives. And unfortunately, religion is sending a lot of people to hell because they've misunderstood what the Bible says about salvation. So we're going to talk about that today and some other elements. So let's go to the sheet here. Modern Christianity has diluted or perverted many of the core elements of true spirituality. Over time, the Christian church has moved further and further away from the type of spiritual life taught by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. We'll touch on that a little bit later on, but it's so important to understand that. By doing so, many modern denominations are full of conditioned beliefs and rules that drive people apart and cause dissension between Christians. In this study, we will look closely at some of these core elements and what the Bible has to say about them. This study can be a wake-up call for many who have harbored beliefs that have no spiritual basis. And that is a lot of folks out there, okay? And again, I put these papers out so you can share these with your family and friends. Because people will ask you at times, what do you believe? Where are you coming from? What's that Bible study all about? This can help you do that, okay? Take these papers with you and just share it with your friends. The current state of Christianity, the focus in the modern church, salvation, blessing, prayer, and true spirituality. There are a number of elements, and get your Bibles out, so I'm going to have you read some of these verses for us. There are a number of elements that are common to many modern churches. First, they are driven or headed up by strong personalities. In a lot of cases, they were started by strong personalities, whatever the case may be. It is true on both a local church level as well as a regional, national, denominational level. Unfortunately, when a church is focused on individuals and not the Word of God, the message begins to erode and the truth becomes lost. It becomes opinions. My opinion is this, as opposed to what the Word of Truth said. My opinion is this, as opposed to what the Bible says. That happens all the time, and we need to shy away from that. We need to run away from that, because that's taking you down the wrong path. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. Somebody could read that for us.
Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned out of fables.
Paul talks about this very early. He brings it up that this is going to happen. And do we see that today? He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, patience, and doctrine. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Sound doctrine after their own lust, they'll heap themselves having itching ears, and they will teach what they want to teach. You must always go back to what the Bible says. A lot of times religion says the Bible is confusing, and what it really means is this, because they've never rightly divided it. They've never rightly divided the word of truth. That's more important than rightly dividing the Bible. Rightly dividing the word of truth, And so they have to compromise. They go, well, this kind of means this, but it also means this, and it kind of means this. And, you know, Richard was sharing some of that from the class that you had years ago. That's what they, that's their starting point, that it doesn't mean what it says. Here's my impression of it. What a terrible starting point, okay? The Bible is very literal and very exact and very, you know, there's nothing ambiguous about it when you begin to understand and rightly divide the word of truth. This is how doctrine gets distorted, I've got written. People begin to focus on teachers and teaching and not the word of God. The Bible can and must be taken literally. Wow. That's right. And we're going to learn about that as we go through today. Absolutely, literally. Okay? Literally, thanks. There are no conflicting doctrines or issues when studied dispensationally. We do that in this class all the time. We understand what the timeline is that God is talking to us today and how he talked to people differently in the past and where those breaks come in and why they exist. And when you begin to understand it, your eyes are open and the whole thing fits together better than you ever imagined. But if you don't, and folks at home might be feeling this way, I kind of hear this, but it kind of conflicts with this, and it kind of conflicts with this, and how can all that be true? Well, it isn't. You have to understand the dispensation with it. Very, very important. That's a whole study in itself. We're going to get it. Just briefly touch on that. A leader of the church should be a reflection of God and Christ. In the greatest sense, they should be transparent, delivering God's message, not their own. They should be secondary to all of God's teachings and servant to the people. This is also why there are so many different jobs for individuals in the current body of Christ. Okay, we all have different skills. We all come together. We all are part of that body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Each of us has a role. Each of us has a role. We need to work that role. We need to understand that role. We need to give back to God lovingly what we can with our skills and our talents. For some of us, it's easy to get up here and talk. For others, it's easy to support and do different things and put together different events or whatever it might be. We all have those different skills, and we are quite diverse, but we're all part of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we come unto the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. The completion of what he set out to do. That's where we're at, okay? We are to be servants and deliver God's message. Our goal should be to reach others with the message of grace, not the message of self-recognition. Again, we're talking about spirituality here, where you need to be focused, where you need to be living, where your life needs to be. This is how the saints become perfected. This is what true edification is all about. When we do this faithfully, we truly represent God in the world. However, we can only do this if we are saved by faith. Without that, everything is still confusing. Everything doesn't make sense. Everything doesn't become clear. And that faith is an acceptance of the finished work of Christ. That faith, yes, go ahead.
That's what's wrong with all of our modern religions today. This is, my brother was steeped in, I was steeped in. They're so conflicting what they teach. There's no solidness to what they preach. They don't preach the fullness of Christ, that we're complete in him. They don't teach what he's done for us, and we can trust that, and by trusting that, we'll be sealed. They don't teach the truth of the word of God. Therefore, people are going about trying to do things that's in that they'll do John, 1 John 1:9, they'll try to do all of these things because they want to be accepted of God, not knowing that Christ has already made us acceptable in him through the work of the cross. And they just, it's just torturous. When I think about how I was living, I was under such a burden trying to please God day in and day out, just trying to be sure I said everything right, didn't make any mistakes. And it's a horrible thing, but now to know, and once I finally saw what Christ had done for me, that it's done.
He's finished.
You see, and thank you, Jesus, for what you did. It's just such a blessing. And I'm not struggling anymore. I'm not in turmoil. I'm not, what's going to happen next? This, that, and the other. Because right. I know, and I overuse the word, but I know I'm complete. You know, I'm airtight.
And you now live for Christ out of a whole different motivation. We're not motivated to perform in order to get some blessing. We're motivated to perform out of what God has already done for us. I've used this example many times when I've had conversations or talks before. If I have a child and I want him to keep his room clean and neat. Do I want him to do that out of fear? Or do I want him to do that out of respect to what I've already given him? Okay, the love and respect that we have with each other. That's our relationship to God today. It's not about performance. It's about giving back because God has done it all. If we truly believe in the faithfulness of Christ to carry out what had to be done and the reconciliation of the world, it's finished. And we are in the best place in the eternal universe. Yes?
I wanted to say that who the author of religion is Satan. And it's really Satan who does this. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so what I'm really trying to say is that Satan is the author of religion to confuse people and to divide people. And as a matter of fact, that's really why I bring this thing here to you as far as definition of theology. And my first class that I had about theology was based on that God was stupid and that he didn't know what he was doing. He got all mixed up scriptures. And we have to straighten
right.
out. What happens is each one of them has their own opinions about what God's trying to say. And that's why, and Satan's the one who's leading. Rather than what you were saying right at the beginning, it's rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth, your theology, quote, is going to come up with wrong conclusions. And it'll always be man-based.
And it'll be all over the place.
Satan's the cause of it.
I was lucky enough to understand or be introduced to grace, dispensational theology, very young.
Yeah.
You know, 7th, 8th grade, you know, just very, very young. So I don't wrestle with as much as a lot of you did for years, wrestling with your spirituality and seeking to please God, but not knowing how to do it, and the frustration of all that, what have you. I certainly have had my frustrations with God, but not because God has frustrated me, because I've walked away from him. At times in my life, I've been way over here, and God's over here, and he's going, hey, Dave, where are you? I'm on my own. I'm good. I don't need you right now. I've been down that road many times. Yeah, but God's never left me. I turned around. He was right there going, hey, good to see you again. Okay. Complete in him. Absolutely. We've got to be saved by that faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Can someone read that for us?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. By Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
What a powerful three verses, okay? I mean, talk about a great writer. Yeah, I try to write novels, I try to write books. Nothing compared to Paul, God, unbelievable. Four verses, he gets it all done, okay? New creature, if you believe in the finished work of Christ, period, and you are not working for your salvation, you're not trying to please God afterwards. I mean, did Christ die as just the beginning point and now we gotta perform to make it happen? No. Christ was complete, and our faith, our acceptance and our belief in the faithfulness that he carried out on that cross puts us in that position with God. Period. Done. Finished. Complete. Okay? A new creature. Okay? All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's the reality. The world's been reconciled. Whether you participate in it or not, that's your choice. The reconciliation happened on the cross. Now, to participate in it, you have to accept it. You have to believe it. Very important, okay? Without that belief or acceptance, you don't get to participate. It was done, but you don't get the benefit. Yes?
And so that's our commission. We're to preach reconciliation.
Yes.
We've been reconciled. God's done the work. Trust what he did for you. And, so we have to let people know they're reconciled.
Yep.
Trying to be good enough to please God.
Quit dancing through the hoops. Quit being religious. Yes.
You know, this last week my wife, went played hooky and went to another church because all my friends were here, so she went off. Well, anyway, that particular church had brought back the church bulletin, and on the back of the bulletin was talking about their commitment to Christ. And it was commit, and that we should practice discipleship or discipline.
Right.
Those principles, and that's how they're basically being accepted. instead of we're accepted in the beloved. And a completely different thing. One is militaristic, the other one is just by the, you know, the faith of Christ and
but see, the faithfulness of Christ. When it's the faithfulness of Christ, it takes our ego out of the picture. Religion is based on ego. If you're not in our denomination and you go play cards or you go to the movies or you do this or you do that or whatever it might be, or you haven't been baptized or you haven't done this, that's religion. Yeah. That has nothing to do with spirituality. Yes?
There's one verse that you stopped at 20, but 21 is sure. so beautiful. Mm-hmm. For he hath made him to be sin for us who know not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. Now that's now think about that for a minute. That's beautiful. The righteousness of God. That makes me as righteous as God.
Yeah.
How perfect can I get? Can't get any more perfect, can I? I can't perform anymore to get more perfect, can I? I can't dance through the hoops to get more. I am as righteous as God. I am in Christ. In the body of Christ, I am perfected. I am placed in that body of Christ by my acceptance of the finished work of what he did on the cross. It's a very simple plan of salvation. The
no
world wants to make
you free.
Yes.
No bondage but freedom.
No bondage but freedom. That's hard. You know why? Because my ego is no longer involved. I can no longer say, look at me. I'm better than them. Look at me. I'm doing this and they're not. My ego's gone. There is no room for ego. It is simply reflecting the love of Christ back to the world. Yes?
Yeah, by definition, reconciliation is we're here, God's here, now we're one.
We're
together.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
It's a very, very beautiful, wonderful place. I mean, look at verse 19 of that of those verses. To wit that God was in Christ. Do you think God felt something? I think so. God was in Christ reconciling the world. How much more intimate can it get? It can't. That's why we, in our hearts, have the most intimate thing, which is our acceptance. It's not what anybody else sees me do. It's not what I say. It's what I do inside my heart. When I accept, which is the most intimate level of commitment on my part, because God gave us the most intimate level of commitment on his part. We match that. Do you see that? It's a beautiful thing.
Now, that reconciliation has to do with what he was doing on the cross. So God was there.
Yeah.
And not only there, but he was, like I said, in Christ, on the cross,
doing
bearing sin. God, who was perfect and pure and holy. I mean, that's just me. And that was done for me.
Yep.
That's the reason why I'm free.
And that's the sad part about religion is they'll say that was done, but.
Yeah.
But you've got to do this too. It wasn't finished. Christ did not finish the job. He just allowed you to participate. It's a very sad place. It's kind of like Christ allowed you to be in the major leagues. Now you better perform or you lose your job.
That's right.
Okay. And they actually teach that from the pulpit. Yeah. That you, and why do they do it? Why do they teach that from the pulpit? Because they want to control it. It's not about the love of God at all. Yes.
In Ephesians 2:8-9, in case you ever have doubts about whether it's about you and what you're doing and why it's not about you, Ephesians 2:8-9 wraps it up. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if it was something we did, we would boast about it as opposed to giving the glory
Absolutely.
To God.
Lest any religion should boast.
Right.
Okay? Lest any religion should boast. What a sad place religion is in versus just the simplicity and the joy of true spirituality. Okay? That's the problem with the world. Look at the fighting. Look at the people killing each other. Look at all the battles. Look, I mean, oh my God, it's amazing. None of them are reflecting the love of Christ. They're reflecting their egos back and their judgment onto each other. What does it say in 20? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray that you in Christ that be reconciled to God. We are the ambassador. We are the representative in the world right now for God's love. It's as simple as that. How do you handle the world? Okay? How do you handle other people? You share the love of Christ with them. You share the importance of reconciliation to God with them. And then let God do the work. You know, I've talked to plenty of people over the years. I share my ideas if they want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about spiritual things. But I'm not about to beat somebody over the head or stand on the street corner yelling at them, hoping that somehow that's going to do the job. Okay? We are ambassadors. Do you feel like an ambassador? I mean, it's not a matter, you gotta, it's not like trying to remember it every time you have a decision or you have a frustration in life. It's an overall attitude. It's an overall attitude of caring about the world, caring about others, caring about doing the right thing, caring about making a difference to the world. And when the opportunities come up, you do them.
Share reconciliation.
Yeah, when it comes up, yes.
I like that word reconciling. In other words, it's a process. And, you know, this, I've been working on a lady now for about, I guess, 2 or 3 years. And this week, she came up to me and she said she was, I was listening to a grace message. And listen, and I never say about the grace message. Mm-hmm. I listened to the grace message. And she gave me an illustration. And it was obvious that she trusted Christ.
That's great. She got it.
Yeah, and that was, it finally happened. So, no, we need to be patient and keep doing it, even though they reject. Because she violently rejected the things that I was saying about grace.
Right. It's very true. Because they were up to the traditions of their religion get in the way. Okay? They grew up a certain way, they've heard this, this is the way they've been, blah, 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 blah. The reality is, it gets in the way. It gets in the way of the true spiritual. Obviously, I've got my clock up here. I'm on like the second page of 5 pages. I'm not going to get through all this today. That's okay.
Welcome to Byron's world.
Yes. I kind of thought I was going to have some trouble with this. We'll see. So, where's our focus, folks? Let's continue on with here on page 2. Unfortunately, many ministries in the modern church are not focused in the right place. They are all about building a bigger church, gaining recognition for individuals, then delivering the message of reconciliation. Okay? I could teach how to build a big church. There's some good principles we could do that we have a big church that has nothing to do with spirituality, and the message wouldn't be correct, and a bunch of other things would be wrong. But we could build a big church and have a whole lot of people here and get a whole lot of money from a tithing thing, which is not proper for today. There's all sorts of things that can be done, but that's not the reality. That's not where we're at today in the dispensation of grace. The message we have today is not a message of building big churches and building money and everything else. It's a message of reconciliation, helping others to see that, giving others the opportunity to see that Christ's finished work has done it. And when they choose to accept that, the peace that passes all understanding is theirs. The gnawing at their soul of being uncomfortable with their creator is gone. We're all here because we kept seeking, okay? This is from the modern church's perspective, a Bible study, an oddball group of folks, okay, from their point of view. We're here because we kept seeking the answers. You've all been through the denominations, and they didn't satisfy us because that gnawing sense of our disconnect with our creator was there, and we kept seeking. We kept looking. And we found it. We found it not in bad terms, but bastardizing the Bible. Not in that at all. In cleaning up the Bible. In getting to the verses. And getting to the point and making it crystal clear. Once we understood that, it was revolutionary. I know for Irma, we talk about things all the time. And they're so wonderful. And they make so much sense to her. And the joy she has is amazing. After being in, I guess, the Baptist church for like 1 million years. Been there, done that. Okay. Man's religious focus on ego, man-made rules, arbitrary standards, and judgment. True spirituality is designed by God, not man. Focuses on spiritual enlightenment, personal growth, and edification. It is not judgmental, but includes all and accepts all. Period. No more discussion of it, okay? Everyone belongs under this tent. Individuals, whoever they are spiritually, salvation by faith is the only thing God expects of us. After that, we are ambassadors for Christ. And then we learn, we grow, we experience, we get deeper, we understand things more. And the more we understand, the more we can share, okay? The one thing that is fascinating, even after all the years I've been in the Grace churches, I sit here and Byron teaches something and I go, wow, that's great. But it gives me a way to share something with somebody. Here's something I just learned. Here's something interesting I just got. Take a look at this, this is fascinating. You know, whenever those opportunities arise, when you can share with somebody something you've just learned, obviously there's a lot of excitement and energy with it. And it's a beautiful thing. That's what we're all here to do. Once we accept the finished work of Christ, we're here to learn, grow. Why? To sit in this room and share with each other? No, that's fine. It's edifying. We do it with each other. It's to take it out of this room. It's to take it to our jobs, take it to the real world. When my clients ask me as a filmmaker, you guys are different than the other film companies, I always try to open up Christianity. I always try to say, well, that's, you know, I'm in peace with my creator is the line I always use. It starts with being at peace with my creator. And some of them will ask more. I've got a bunch of guys in Bush Hog right now that are fascinated by my religious perspectives. And so every time we go on the road, we all talk. And who knows? And one in particular, a gentleman named Mark, him and I share a lot about spirituality. And I think there's an opportunity there to get them to see the light. We'll see. It's a great conversation, no matter what. It's a very interesting world out there, and we are to be that representative, you know, the ambassador for Christ. Now at the bottom of the page, let's continue. Salvation and eternal security. Boy, this is where the modern church really has confused. This is like the key, you know, linchpin, whatever you want to call it, to the confusion that exists in modern religion. A significant portion of the modern church feels that an individual can lose their salvation by not living or acting a certain way after being saved. Wow. If that were the case, I'd be in a world of hurt. I'm telling you beforehand, everybody here, I'd be in a world of hurt. Okay? They may not come out and say this, but if you were in their congregation and fell into some sort of sin that they could judge, they would either say you never really were saved or that God was judging you. How many people have been there and seen that? You know, everybody at least nodded their heads, okay? Universal nod. In truth, Christians who love the Lord can be caught up in the world and be completely out of fellowship with God. Boy, Erman and I had that discussion forever when she was beginning to see things. How could these things happen? How could this happen? How could you be like this? How could you have done this? It doesn't matter. Okay? Not that I'm that bad. I mean, I've got my bad sides. Okay? The point is, as a member of the body of Christ, I can do whatever I want. It's not healthy for me. It's not, you know, edifying for me, but I can certainly participate in it. And when I do, what happens? I lose the joy of my salvation. I really do. When I'm wrapped up in stupid things in the world and I'm not focused in the right direction, do I have joy? Nah. You end up having a lot of misery, Jesse.
I made this remark before about King David. Whenever he said,
that's why they named David
one. Return to me the joy of my salvation. He didn't say return to me my salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said return to me
the joy.
We can lose the joy of our salvation.
Absolutely.
We don't, you know, but it's not because God's disconnected with us. He's not. But we can strive to live better. I don't ask you to forgive me of my sins. My sins are taken care of. I've been reconciled, 100% reconciled. I don't ask for that, but I can ask him to help me be a little stronger.
Yeah. And help me have opportunities to share what I know with others.
Yeah.
That's the thing I ask for a lot.
So I can tell somebody about reconciliation.
So I can bring it to someone else's attention. I often use the example, and you guys have heard it before, but some people may not on the internet. God loves us. God continues to bless us. We have been blessed. We're going to get to those verses later, maybe not this week, maybe next week. We'll get to them. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, and we're seated in heavenly places. Now, that choice is, those things exist. They're right there. And I often use the example of the UPS driver. The UPS driver shows up at my door with a blessing from God. If I'm not home, I can't sign for it. I don't get it. It's not that it's being delivered, because guess what? Another one comes tomorrow, and another one comes the next day. And if I'm not home, I don't get them. But they're still being delivered. Okay? And when I turn around and figure out, you know what? Living this way isn't exactly so good. I'm not really, this isn't the fun I thought it was going to be, because what? We still have our fleshly bodies. And there's an awful lot of things out there that are pretty fun, but they turn out not to be. And when I turn around and go, I don't have to pray about it. I can say, thank you, God, because I'm back. I learned something. A lesson I might have to repeat a few times, but I learned something. Okay? That's the joy we have. That's the peace we have. That's the position we have in Christ. It's not a position of being damned or punished because of our failures. It's a position of being reconciled and being at home the minute we turn back. There's no hesitation because it never left. It never left. Think about that for a minute. Your salvation, your blessing, your position in Christ never left. Once you accept what? The reconciling of the world and the finished work of Christ. This is radical stuff for a lot of people that are hearing this, because modern churches do not teach that. Yet it's in the Bible. Yet it's crystal clear in the Bible. Yet to them it's like, well, it sort of means this, but what it really means is this. No. If it says it means that, it means that. Let's take it literally, folks. Let's understand that. In truth, I'm down at the bottom of the page here. It might be the bottom of your page. In truth, Christians who love the Lord can be caught up in a world that is completely out of fellowship with God. They have not lost their salvation, just their focus for God and the enjoyment of blessings found in a close relationship to God. This is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, verse 33 through 39. Can someone read those?
Paul includes every type. Oh, read 33
through 39.
Oh, okay.
I mean, listen to this very carefully, guys. Anyone? Okay.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Or, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come.
Go through
that.
Next one.
Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing.
And look what it says. Go back to verse 35 a second. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's not talking about our love of Christ. What does it say?
His love.
His love for us.
Amen.
Nothing can separate that.
Amen.
Paul goes through a whole list of goodies here, trying to get the point across. Angels, principalities, powers. Nothing. So if you are feeling like a defeated Christian, stop that attitude, focus back on God, and live for God, because he's already there. He's not upset with you if you are truly have placed your faith or your belief in the finished work of Christ. He doesn't even see those sins, because where are you? You're in Christ. You're in the body of Christ. Do you think there's sin in the body of Christ? No, if you're in the body of Christ, you stand perfect. You are 100% sinless. That's hard for people to accept. Hard for people to understand. Yes?
I know in the Assembly of God would say, well, you can take yourself out of it, by the way, but what you're saying here, it's the other way around. It's not the fact that it's your faith in Christ. It's Christ hanging on to you.
Yep, it's the love of Christ.
And if you deny him, he cannot deny you, because he cannot deny himself. And that's what's so beautiful about it.
What a wonderful place to be. What we're talking about today is a wonderful, wonderful position that we have in the finished work in Christ. And that position then becomes our motivator. The position then becomes the joy we have to give back to the world and reflect the love of God to the world because of what he's already done, not because we can get out of it. Okay? When I was young, I was under this burden of, you know, I was 15. You know, what can I say? I was kind of lusting after women. I don't know what the story was. But anyway. And I honestly used to worry about my car breaking down. Okay? My car breaking down because I was focused on these chicks. Okay? I didn't understand. I needed to learn more. Okay? I needed to understand better. And I did. Okay? Now when those Hardee's commercials come out, I never even look. I don't even know what they're talking about. I stole the point there. All right. That's right. Nor death, nor any other creature. Any other creature. I'm talking about Satan. We're talking about anything. Okay? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is what? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you feel like you're in the body of Christ? Do you realize that? Do you take advantage of that? Do you understand it? Do you have the peace of God? How many of you worry about things? Come on, let's be honest with the answer. Okay? All right? No matter what. I do all the time. I'm in business. I have 6 employees, whatever, I got to pay. They get their and, yeah, I worry about stuff. I shouldn't. I was worried this last week about getting certain things done, and all of a sudden, pow, everything comes together. You know, I mean, how many years? I've been at this 43 years, and I'm still worried. That's pretty stupid. God's protected me for 43 years. You know, he's done a pretty good job. But anyway, we need to learn to settle into the body of Christ and enjoy the ride. More. Not so much of the focus. Paul includes every type possible. I've got written down here. Power issue that anything could endure. There's no sin or action you can do that will separate you from the love of Christ. Your sin will cause you to run from God. will cause you to run from God and not enjoy close fellowship with him, but it will not separate you from God. I mean, I don't like to share my sin with God. Hey, God, take a look at this. Okay, it just doesn't happen when you run from God. As a Christian, in our fellowship, we will lead miserable, unhappy lives, you know, by our own doing. And God will be waiting for you when you decide to come home. Christ slew the enmity at the cross and delivered us from the devil. If we believe and accept his faithfulness and carry this out, we are taken out of the sin equation. Out of the sin equation. Think about that. Never to return. Okay? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, 14 through 18. Can someone read that for us? I get emotional with all this stuff.
That's a good thing.
Ephesians 2?
Yeah, 2, 14 through 18.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Keep going through 18.
Oh, okay. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were not. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
We both have access by one Spirit in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We have access to God through that. Period. 100% complete, finished. Let's stop trying to dance around that. Instead, let's change our motivation. Let's live for God out of what he's done, not live for God out of what we can get out of him. Years ago, we're going to get into this probably next week, we won't get to it this week, about prayer and things. I was doing some projects for a different religious organization. And the team got together in my editing room, and they prayed that their pastor would get an airplane. And there was three or more of them. They actually sat there and said, well, there's three of us doing this, so this is going to happen. And they prayed for the pastor to have an airplane because he needed an airplane. Well, the airplane never happened. Even to this day, the airplane still hasn't happened. The reality is, folks, we need to understand our position. We need to understand what the dispensation of the grace of God is that we live in. The mystery that Paul talks about. And next week, we're going to go into a few verses to talk about that. Not in big depth. We can go through a whole study on that by itself. But it's important to understand that that mystery, that dispensation of grace that we have now today, that exists today, that is partially recognized by religion, because where do they get their faith in Christ from? Paul, okay? Yet they go back and try to combine it together with other books and other teachings that are not for today's time, and they end up with a lot of confusion, do they not?
Yep.
They end up with a lot of sadness. They end up with people who are lost. I want to say this as plain as possible. If you have to work for your salvation, if you have to make sure that you pray about every one of your sins so they'll be forgiven, you're not saved. That's right. You are not saved. The finished work of Christ means nothing to you. You have to think this through because it's your eternal security, your eternal position, where you're going to be at for eternity that we're talking about. We're not talking about looking good on the earth. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about dancing through things in the earth. We're talking about your future forever. Okay? Christ came, died, was resurrected for what? For our justification. He reconciled the world at that point on the cross. Whether you participate in it is whether you accept it. Whether you believe it and accept it. That's your future. And if you are combining a belief in Jesus, which there's an awful lot of lost believers, I believe that Jesus existed, so did Satan. And I believe Jesus died, okay. And I believe he resurrected, okay. But for what? So that I can keep praying for my sins for eternity to make sure that my sins are covered? No. Justification. Once and for all, that justification happened.
That's the mystery.
That's the mystery. That's what Paul teaches. That's what the modern church will use verses. But you know what? They'll never use, I have written down here, we'll get to this next week. They'll never use the verse about a mystery given toward me, toward you. Those are verses they never bring up. They never bring those up in their teaching or study because they can't understand them. So why make it, why even deal with it? I've asked some pastors, what do you think the mystery is? A fair amount of them said, what are you talking about? Okay, fantasy, I've never even seen it. And a few that have actually read the verses go, the mystery that God would love man. That's the answer, okay? That's the Catholic answer for it. The great mystery is that God would love man. I've sat there in Catholic services and heard that. No, the mystery is the faithfulness that Christ had in carrying out what had to be done that we can participate by our belief and our acceptance. It's really very simple. The world makes it very complex, sadly enough. And who runs the world?
Satan.
That's why religion exists. Okay? If Satan understood that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was going to open up salvation to the whole world, he would never have let it happen. You got to know, when Christ was on the cross, Satan was dancing. He was partying. He was like, I stopped this kingdom from happening. I stopped God on earth. Look at the power I've got. He was really into it at that point. And 3 days later, something happened. And he didn't even understand it at that point, I'm sure, until it was shown to Paul. Yes?
In verse 15, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments and ordinances.
Yep.
And I've had more ministers get mad at me for saying that. Yep. He never abolished the law. And it might be part of it, but not all of it.
Yep.
It was all of it. And what's really amazing. That's what religion does. And Satan comes out of it. So you really realize that they really are ministers of Satan. And it's just really, really unfortunate and sad. But and that's where our freedom is the fact that he did abolish it. And thankfully, I can rest in the fact that, you know, the law
done.
Was eradicated.
It does, as if it never existed. It's finished.
Yeah. And he was the author of it. I mean, God was the author of the law.
Extremely powerful. But yet, religion doesn't. And I was teaching in a evangelical free church. I was teaching the Sunday school class for adults. I was a whopping 19 years old. I was a kid. And the class grew because I was teaching something, substance. And it grew. And I wasn't a great teacher back then. At 19, I hardly knew anything. Are you kidding? And the pastor came to my office. He said, you can't teach anymore. And I said, why? Because my people will live like hell with what you're teaching them. That was exact words. Mm-hmm. In my group that was built up from, I think, 6 adults in the Sunday school class to about 30, I wanted to know what happened when I just didn't show up anymore. I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't know how to handle it. 19. I should have started another church or something. I don't know. Couldn't start. But the point is, I didn't know what to do. Because they don't want to hear that my people are free, that sin is no longer an issue with them spiritually. They don't want to hear that. That's very radical to them because that's threatening to them. What am I going to do now? Oh my God. You follow me? Let's look at a couple more verses, then we'll quit for today. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. And do you feel this? Look at these verses. If you feel this way.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Paul says, even the forgiveness of sins. You know what he thought? He knew that in the future this was going to be an issue. God did, okay? Even the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This is one of Jim's favorites, I think. Okay, we'll wait. Ephesians 1:13.
In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed the Holy Spirit of promise.
Bingo. Does it get any better? We'll stop with this today. This is a great place to stop. In whom you also trusted, you have heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? That Jesus came, died, buried, resurrected for my justification. Not resurrected so I could play ball and see if I could live the Christian experience and do it well. No. He was resurrected for my complete, total justification. That's where I stand today. That's where he put me. I had no choice. When I accept the finished work of Christ, I am baptized into the body of Christ, and I cannot be in the body of Christ with any sin. Period. I stand perfected. Not my doing, God's doing. So now what am I? I'm eternally thankful. What am I? I'm joyous and blessed, and I want to give it back to the world. What am I?
Perfect, absolutely perfect.
Amen.
Eternity's gonna be a wonderful place. I'll quit worrying about my job, my business.
Try.
All right, let's close the word prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for those who are here, who have understood, who have accepted the finished work of Christ that are in you. We pray for those who may be still trying to figure it out, and our hearts go out to them. We want to share as much as we can with them, because it's the love of you that compels it all. And when they understand, they get to see it. Everything changes. When they accept the finished work of Christ and get their egos out of the way, because they've been taught ego from the time they were 2 years old, they begin to live a different world. They begin to have the joy and peace of your salvation. We'd ask that if there's anybody here that doesn't understand this, or somebody at home watching that doesn't fully get this, that they can see, to search more, seek it out, keep searching, because the answer's there. And the answer will set you free. And the joy and peace of your salvation will rule your life and make a huge, not huge, make a total difference in everything you do. We'd ask to give each of us an opportunity this week to share the love of Christ in some way, an action, a discussion, a support, whatever it might be. And then if somebody asks about it, wants to know more about it, give us the words just to share the love we have with you. Not to be preachers and get up there and get on the pulpit and, you know, stand in the street corner and do whatever. No, just to share the love of Christ with somebody and have the right words so that they can understand it and maybe get to see it as well. We ask these things in your name.